Right into his word. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6 and continuing on through the end of the chapter, a message that I have entitled Receiving the Promise. Paul says in verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, beginning in verse 6, Paul continues on with his dissertation concerning the issue of grace over works. And if you haven't read Galatians in a while, or you weren't here the last couple of times that we looked at it, it might help to know that Paul was trying to straighten out the Christians in Galatia who had been duped into believing that although they were initially saved by grace through faith, now they needed again to be subject to the law in order to be justified. And of course, once you let a false doctrine like that start, it doesn't get any better. It only gets worse. The next thing you know, now they have to be subject to the law in order to even be saved. And so particularly the issue in Galatians 3 was the issue of circumcision, which was a covenant that God had instituted and made with Abraham and his descendants. And so they were saying that in order to be justified, and what justified means, if you've never heard it that way, means just as if I'd never sinned, was that in addition to accepting God's gift of salvation through faith, now you also had this legal requirement in the flesh that you needed to be circumcised as well. Well, in chapter 1 of Galatians, just to backtrace a little bit and set the foundation a little bit, Paul asserts his own apostleship, having himself been saved by grace, certainly not from the works that he was doing. If you think back to the days B.C., before Christ, for Paul that is, his name was Saul, didn't even have the name Paul, it was Saul, and the works that he was doing was to go about from house to house and persecute Christians. And he would have legal right to do that. He went to the courts. He knew the law. Here was a guy who grew up understanding and studying the law. And so he had the law, and with the law, he would take Christians out of their home. He would torment them. He would cast them into prison, and at times would even hold the young men's jackets as they stoned Christians to death. And so he, of all people, understood that his salvation didn't come by the works that he did. It wasn't by the works of the flesh, nor was it by the works of the law, but it was the grace of God. And so Paul spends a large part of the teaching that he did and the writing that he did talking about the goodness of God's grace, the necessity of God's grace, and the perfection of God's grace, as opposed to trying to do things in our own strength, as opposed to trying to be subjected to the law and thinking that that somehow could make us righteous in the eyes of God. Paul was a Jew. He says so in Acts 23. In fact, he tells those who had accused him and arrested him while he was there in Jerusalem, I'm a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. So he certainly knew what he was talking about when he discussed the law. Now, Paul had firsthand knowledge that the law, the works of the flesh, would not bring salvation to men and women. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, we'll see that Paul understood that just the opposite was true, that that the law actually served as a tutor or a schoolmaster, depending on the version that you have, to bring us to Christ that we may be justified. It wasn't about the law. The law was a tool that brought us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Him. Well, it was certain quote-unquote false brethren, as Paul called them, Judaizers who were attempting to bring the Galatians back under subjection to the law. So Paul, as he begins to reason with him here in chapter 3, reasons with them using the law. It's interesting that these Judaizers were trying to force these guys back under the law, and Paul says, let's just take a look at the law. And so he talks about the law. The Jewish people were very proud of their relationship to Abraham. A lot of stock was made of it. The problem was they assumed that their relationship to Abraham would grant them salvation, that they were saved just because they were sons of Abraham or descendants of Abraham. And so many times people, particularly in our part of the world, get that same idea that, well, I'm Christian because mom and dad were Christian, or I'm Christian because grandma and grandpa were Christians. I come from a long line of Christians. But it isn't the case. And neither could their relationship with Abraham in and of itself bring them anything other than pride. Pride in the fact that that they were a descendant. So it would go sort of like, so Saul, you think you're going to heaven? Yeah, man, me and Abraham, we're like that. You got it made. No, that's not the way that it worked. The thing is, it is who you know. It is who you believe. It's just not Abraham. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, nevertheless, the first thing that Paul points out is that Abraham, who they claimed as their father, whose heritage they were extremely proud of, was saved by faith, justified by faith, made righteous by faith, and not by works, the same way that we are today. That's how Abraham was saved. And Paul tells him in verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, right standing before God, justification, just as if he'd never sinned. Now you've got to see it. Abraham believed God and was made righteous before he was circumcised, before the covenant of circumcision was ever given to him from God. It's in Genesis chapter 15 that God told Abraham, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. The covenant of circumcision didn't come about until later. We read about it in Genesis chapter 17. And it wasn't until Genesis 22 that God told Abraham to take Isaac, his quote-unquote only begotten son, the son of the promise, the one that God had promised to bless all nations through, up to Mount Moriah and offer him up as sacrifice unto the Lord. So it wasn't about his obedience to take Isaac up on the mountain. It wasn't about his obedience to the covenant to become circumcised. It was about believing God. It was about faith that God was able to bring about those things that he said he would bring about, just as it is with us today. It's not about what we do. It's not about how good we are or how bad we are. It's really about believing that God meant what he said, said what he meant, and that he's able to do it in and through our lives. And then in verse 7, Paul tells him, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. What? Now, they've taken so much stock and so much pride in their sons of Abraham status. It's like, not if you're subject to the law. That's not what it's about. It's those who are in faith that are sons of Abraham. Those who are of faith, if you get it. Because in the first place, you might ask, what's the big deal about being sons of Abraham? It was obviously important to those Judaizers who were trying to force them back into bondage to the law. And it was obviously important to the Galatians as well. They were buying into it. They were all hung up on this being sons of Abraham. Why would it be? They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. And yet we know that Abraham is in fact the father of many nations, not just the Jews. And Paul affirms it to be so in verse 8. He says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations, and when they talk about the nations in the